Well, Pastor Schlutz always tells me when I speak, try to have the people out around 7. So I'm going to see what I can do this afternoon. The reason for the afternoon service is so that we have a little extra time. No, but seriously, I promise to be brief this afternoon. Within the next half hour or so, I promise to stop ranting on music and we'll move on to other topics. But hopefully, we'll learn a couple things. I want to start with just a couple points of review, and hopefully we can keep this moving along here. God is the creator of music. Of course, we recognize he's the author. He's the one who's invested it with power, and he's greatly glorified when it's used in the way that he prescribes. Satan is also musical, and we've talked about that. A couple of scripture references that support that. Isaiah 14, God said to Satan, "Thy pomp has brought thee down to the grave, and the noise of thy vials, a stringed instrument. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer?" A parallel passage of Ezekiel 28 says, "The workmanship of thy tabrets," which is a percussion instrument, "and thy pipes," or wind instruments, was prepared in thee in the day thou wast created. So God created Lucifer, and he invested within him musical ability. That's part of his very being, as an integral part of his nature, if nothing else. And Satan certainly retains that in his fallen state and seeks to use that in the world today. We know that music can impact us in a powerful way, and it impacts our minds, our spirits, our bodies, our thoughts, and our attitudes. And some scriptures to support that, starting in the Old Testament. You know the story in 1 Samuel chapter 16. It came to pass when the evil spirit from God was upon Saul that David took a harp and played with his hand. So Saul was refreshed and was well, and the evil spirit departed from him. So you see how music had that impact. No connection to church, not even worship involved here, but really music in the home, how in Saul's home it was able to affect his spirit in a powerful way. Paul and Silas in the jail at Philippi, Acts 16, 24 and 25, says that when the jailer thrust them into the inner prison and made their feet fast in the stocks, that at midnight Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. So again, not connected with church here at all. You could call it a form of worship on their own, but you see how the music, Paul and Silas were able to say, well, we could be downtrodden right now, we could be discouraged or distraught, but instead we're going to sing praise to God, and see how that impacted their attitudes, the attitudes of those around them, and even led to the salvation of the jailer and his family. Next, James 5:13 gives us instruction in that regard. "Is many afflicted?" he asks, "let him pray. Is any merry? Let him sing psalms." So singing, music, it's to be part of our lives. When we're happy, we're to praise God for that. When we're downcast and discouraged, music can have the ministry of lifting us up. So God created it to be that way. Fourth point of review, just very quickly, is that we don't actually realize or comprehend all the impact that music has on us. So that causes us to have a need to think carefully about the choices we make in music. Well, we've talked about music in the church, and I think most would agree that that is certainly something that we need to be very careful about. God is picky about music, and so he deserves to be able to choose what music is used in worship. But I want to talk tonight about, or this afternoon, music in the home. And the main points are nothing profound this afternoon. I'll go ahead and give them to you. Number one, avoid bad music. Number two, use good music. So hopefully that's something that anyone can understand. But we start by talking about the fact that we must avoid worldly music in the home. I think most people would agree with that. That's kind of a no-brainer. But then again, some people have a disconnect there and try to draw a line and say, well, I can see how God would be picky about music used in worship and what music we use in the church. But when I'm at home, surely God just expects me to listen to whatever I connect well with, whatever I enjoy, appreciate, whatever matches my tastes. That's what I ought to listen to in my home. The truth is, if we recognize how music impacts us, and we recognize that some music is indeed fleshly, worldly, and that Satan is musical, We see that even in the home, we have to be very careful about what influences enter our home. You know, God calls us to come out from among the world and be different, to be separate. He says, touch not the unclean thing. He says, strive to approve things that are excellent so you can live holy, blamelessly, godly in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation among whom ye shine as lights, as among whom ye shine as lights in the world. So certainly we want to be very careful that worldly music isn't part of what's in our home. I want to make not a disclaimer, but just a word of to say in your good graces this afternoon. I know music is a touchy subject. If we poll the audience, there's a lot of different personal taste in music. I'm going to share some things from Scripture this afternoon, and I hope you'll take those and say, well, I'll change to align with that. I'm going to share some things also that are my opinion, and I've done my best to base my opinions on Scripture, but in those cases where I don't say, thus saith the Lord, there is some room for disagreement. I hope you'll carefully consider what I have to say. I don't expect you to allow Joel Stevens to meddle with your music habits, but I hope you'll at least allow God to meddle with and even dictate your music habits. So anything I say, please know that I don't have any specific person in mind. I don't know your music habits, but let's remain friends, even if I say something that you perhaps would disagree with. That's what I'm hoping for. Well, music can be worldly, and we don't want worldly music in our home. Everyone agrees. Where we disagree is what music is worldly. Where do I draw that line? And some people say, well, you can't really draw that line. Some music's okay for some people and not okay for other people. And there's really a big gray area. And there's probably some heavy death metal that's bad. And there's some Christian music that's good. And in between, well, it gets a little fuzzy. Some people want the Scripture to be clear and to give us exact details about what to listen to and what not to listen to. The fact is they want a Scripture that's 2 million pages long because it gives us the answer to every question and never requires us to study and to lean on the guidance of the Spirit. But that's not what God gave us. God gave us a book that is able to give us everything we need for life and godliness, he says. He says that Scripture is sufficient to help us to be thoroughly furnished to every good work. Not adequately furnished, but thoroughly furnished to every good work so that we can have everything that pertains to life and godliness. So how do we know where to draw the line? What music is worldly and what music is wholesome? Well, I think part of the answer lies in this statement, and this isn't original with me. I heard someone put it this way, and I think it really shed some light, is this idea that music paints a picture. Have you ever heard it put that way before? Music paints a picture. That is, the different tones, the pitches, the rhythm, the instrumentation, all these things work together, and they form an impression in our mind. So if you don't know exactly what I'm talking about, I'll give you a couple examples here. I'm going to play a clip of music here. And before the picture comes up, see if you can form in your mind what kind of picture you might associate with this music. The teens will do pretty good at this. Some of them have seen this before. Also, another disclaimer, I'm not endorsing any of these types of music or condemning any of them. But just for the purposes of helping us see that music paints a picture, what type of picture do you think of when you hear this music? You have a picture in your mind? I'll put a picture of what I think of, and we'll see how close it is to what you folks are thinking of. So something like that, something fun and lighthearted and cheerful, maybe even a clown. We'll see you come up with something like that. All right, let's try another one. What type of picture does this music paint? Very different, isn't it? Do you have a picture in mind? This is what I came up with. With a creepy graveyard. Is anybody thinking of something like that, or at least something kind of scary and dark and unsettling? Yeah. All right, let's do another one. What type of picture does this music paint? I've got a cheerful farmer there. You might be thinking of a fair or some hoedown or something else that's fun like that. A couple more. How about this? What picture does this music paint? Very different again. Got something very peaceful and relaxing and serene type of scene. Were you thinking of something like that? Probably no one was thinking of the clown, right? But that proves the point. I think we'll all have a similar answer on this one. Does that bring some pictures to your mind at all? Probably unanimously all of us are thinking of Christmas and holiday time and family time and all those things. One more. What picture does this music paint? Are you thinking of something like that? Yeah, that's what I'm thinking of. So we all have to agree. Hey, those are some obvious examples. A lot of times, as I gauge your reaction, most of you are thinking something similar, at least, to what I was thinking, because that's how the music impacts us. It impresses us in that way. It paints a picture. So do you realize that all the music that you listen to paints a picture? And I picked obvious examples on purpose, of course. It's not always that cut and dry. It's not always that obvious. But we need to be even more careful when it's subtle, I think, because it might be painting a picture we don't realize, and it affects our subconscious in ways that we don't realize. So be careful. What type of picture is your music painting? If you consider the music you've listened to in the last couple of weeks, what type of picture, if we approach this objectively and honestly, as I want to encourage you to strive to do this afternoon, not to be defensive or to kid yourself, what picture does it really paint? Well, sometimes I think we can honestly say, well, I'm not sure. I'm not sure what picture it paints. Well, one verse of Scripture that might speak to us is Corinthians 14, 7 through 8 says, even things without life-giving sound, whether pipe or harp, except they give a distinction in the sounds, how shall it be known what is piped or harped? For if the trumpet give an uncertain sound, who shall prepare himself to battle? So what Paul's saying is, hey, music is intended to communicate. So if the music makes a sound that's uncertain, that people don't know how to respond to, the music isn't accomplishing its purpose. He gives the illustration of, suppose you're in an army camp and everyone's asleep and the bugler comes and he plays the revelry. Everyone knows exactly what to do. But suppose it's 4 a.m. and the bugler comes and he plays a song that he wrote himself and no one's ever heard before. Or maybe he plays taps or he plays jingle bells. People in the camp, they're not going to know what to do. They say, do you hear this song before? Do you know what we're supposed to do? Or I don't know whether to mourn or get ready for battle or celebrate Christmas. I don't know what's going on. Music that paints an indistinct picture, Paul says it's not going to help us any. In fact, I would argue that it can be dangerous. So if you say, well, I don't know what picture my music paints, well, you might want to be careful about using that type of music. I want to talk about some specific styles of music. And again, not to step on any toes, but just approach this objectively and honestly. Sometimes we really don't know what type of picture our music paints. One way to find out, how many have ever done a Google image search? Here's how it works. If you go to Google and you click on the Images tab, and then you type in a couple words, hit search, and it'll bring up all the images from across the internet that are associated with those words. So Google is not a Christian organization, doesn't have any agenda in that regard, but if you plug in, I'm going to use as an example, rock music, what type of picture is painted by rock music? Here's the top results from a Google image search. I did a Google image search, and a lot of the top results I found involved flames, smoke, skulls, an emphasis on performers, and I just wrote down general chaos and some scary images. So that's kind of the picture that Google says is painted by rock music. Sometimes we want to kid ourselves and say it's much more innocent. You've heard some bad arguments about rock music probably, and so maybe some preachers from other states and other ages who rant and rave but don't have any clear arguments, but there are some authorities on rock music, and we call them rock stars. I want to quote several of them this afternoon. David Bowie, it says, rock has always been the devil's music. I believe rock and roll is dangerous. I feel we're only heralding something even darker than ourselves. Not my words, but his. John Lennon, one of the Beatles, you might have heard of them. He said, "I've sold my soul to the devil." Oh, well, that's very nice. Who else? John Oates, I hope I'm saying his name right, says, "Rock and roll is 99% sex." Here's a member of the Rolling Stones group. He says, "We receive our songs by inspiration, like at a seance." He's not talking about divine inspiration there. Paul McCartney, another one of the Beatles, "We probably seem to be anti-religious." He said, "Anti-religious? None of us believes in God." The Beatles, heavy death metal rock group, right? No, they'd be considered light rock today. That's what he says. These are the things they say about their music, though. Ozzy Osbourne, some of you heard of him, another rock star. He said, "I've now been sued by about 25 people who claim their kids committed suicide from listening to my music." The sources of these quotes are not Christian books. The sources of these books are their own magazines. Bon Jovi would kill his mother for rock and roll and sell his own soul. Little Richie says he's the rock and roll singer that you heard about through the years, directed and commanded by another power, the power of darkness, the power of the devil, Satan. And the vile Marilyn Manson, who says, "Hopefully I'll be remembered as the person who brought an end to Christianity." What do you think is the source through which he tries to bring an end to Christianity? It's his music. It's rock music. And you don't have to take my word for it. If there's anyone who knows what they're talking about when it comes to rock music, these men know. Several more quotes here. I'm not going to read them all, partly for sake of time, partly because some of them are more graphic than I even care to read out loud. But hopefully it will impress you that, hey, it's unanimous. I mean, I'm not saying that every rocker is bent on death and darkness and destruction. Some of them certainly are very nice people. But those that are truly immersed in it and know what it's all about and are willing to say so honestly say, hey, here's what it's really about. It's about darkness. And so I want us to consider the question, why would a believer want any part of this? When the world says this is what it is, why would we even come close? And of course, I'm picking on rock and roll in specific here, but a study of the history of music and association shows that really all the world's music is connected in a family tree. And all the performers, they overlap a little bit. Where one of these genres stops, the other one starts, and they're all intermingled and tied together. I'll show a couple more image searches. If you search rap or hip-hop, a lot of the top results are parental advisories, graffiti, rebellion, performers, and gangsters. If you search pop music, you'll find, again, an emphasis on performers, independence, parties and a party atmosphere, and immodesty. Country music, you'll find some milder results, but again, an emphasis on performers, general worldliness, and a carefree lifestyle. So John says, "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world." I think if we're honest, a lot of the composers and the performers of these different styles of the world's music would say, hey, that's our target. The lust of the flesh, that's what we go for. That's what we thrive on. The lust of the eyes, yeah, if you're good at appealing to the lust of the eyes, we're going to put you on stage. The pride of life, yes, that's where the worldly music industry strives. God tells us, have no part of it. So we're going to try to avoid worldly music. Number two, we want to learn to incorporate wholesome music in the home. Incorporating wholesome music. I'm going to promote two types of wholesome music. Sacred music. If you do an image search on sacred music, the results are much different. You'll find order, beauty, respectability, and a general wholesomeness. Likewise with classical music. Again, there's order, dignity, grandeur. And that's not to say that every piece of classical music, every piece of sacred music is good and wholesome, but the picture that's painted is certainly much different. A few a few points of application. Number one, as you incorporate wholesome music into the home, fathers must take leadership in this area. Fathers, parents, it's your responsibility to see that the worldly music is weeded out of the home, that you serve as a shield to that home to protect from those impacts that the wrong type of music can have. And that involves purging worldly music from your home. Some of you, your kids have iPads, iPods, MP3 players, computers, all those things. You don't even know what music they're listening to. They get those headphones plugged in and you haven't monitored it all. You haven't purged any music from their technology. You're responsible for that. The devil is very musical and he wants to use that to change minds, to blind eyes, and to darken hearts. And if we do nothing as a shield to our young people, he can certainly poison our minds through that. So purging worldly music, investing in wholesome music. To invest in wholesome music, it might cost you some money. You might have to pay for some downloads and for some CDs. You might have to throw away some things that have been around since your teen years that really don't belong in your home that also cost you some money and are precious to you. If you don't know where to find wholesome music, come see me. Come see Pastor. Come see my wife or Pastor's wife. Go see Miss Betty in the bookstore. She'll be able to point you to some samples. I can point you to a number of places where you can get great wholesome music, some of it Christian, some of it secular, just wholesome music. And the research that shows the negative impact of the wrong type of music is equally strong to show the positive impact of wholesome music. Not only lifting the spirits, but actually classical music is recommended. It actually makes people smarter just by listening to it. That's actually how I got so smart, by the way. That's because Sarah plays music for me at home all the time. Sing together as a family. I'm really starting to sound old-fashioned and out of date, but can you please not brush this off? Can you please consider this? You can't measure the impact that will be had if you sing together as a family, especially Christian songs, Bible songs. We did it in my home all the time as we grew up every morning. We'd have breakfast together. We'd have prayer together. We'd look at Scripture together. My six siblings, my parents, all of us together. And we'd sing songs together. And I thought every family did that. I didn't always appreciate it, you know, especially in my teen years. I started getting too cool for it. But we did it anyway, and it impacted me, whether I wanted it to or not. Can you consider doing that? Some of you can't do it at breakfast time. Maybe you can do it before bed. Maybe you can do it at supper. Maybe you can do it in the car as you drive together. But don't make excuses. You might say, "Oh, my kids aren't going to buy into that. They won't even sing." Well, sing anyway. And make force them to at least move their lips. Let them choose the songs if that helps. And even if they don't appear to appreciate it, it will impact them. You will set an example for them, and it will have an influence. Some of you might be a little anxious or nervous about approaching your kids' music. You might say, "Well, I can't even talk to my kid about that subject." Here's the problem, Joel, is they have no taste for wholesome music, and they're just really immersed in this worldly music, so they're not very interested in what I have to say. Are you going to give up that easy? Aren't you responsible for raising your children and incorporating godly tastes and practices into their lives? Did you give up that easy when you started feeding them? None of you would say, "Well, here's the thing, Joel, with my kids, they don't like vegetables or fruits or even meats or grains. They just like sugar and fatty foods. And that's what appeals to them. So that's what I give them. You know, I try to give them the good stuff, but they just won't eat it." None of you would give up that easy because you know it's physically going to destroy them. How about the spiritual destruction that can take place if you give up in the area of music? You have to treat it just like food. Say, "Well, I know you like this, but you can't have it right now. That's going to destroy you. You need to develop a taste for this." And it might take some time, but they will. It can be taught. Music taste, certainly. They're learned very quickly, and often the wrong things appeal first. And we gain a taste for those wrong things very easily. But the right things, if they're faithfully, diligently, consistently incorporated, we will gain a taste for that, And even if no one ever appears to gain a taste for it, you give it to them anyway, and it will help them grow. Right? The same with food, the same with music. I think they're similar in that way. So will you make an effort? I'm talking specifically to families, specifically to parents. Incorporate wholesome music in your homes. Have godly CDs playing in your house, in your car as you travel. Have music instead of TV sometimes, and just let God use that to have an impact. I want to just close with a verse. We'll be dismissed. Philippians 4, verse 8. Paul says, "Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things." Can this be our guideline? If you want a line that is distinct about music, can you use this one? And can you use it honestly and take your music and compare it to this verse of Scripture and say, if I'm honest, is this music true? Is it honest? Just? Is it pure? Is it lovely? Is it of good report, virtuous and praiseworthy? Is that how God would evaluate my music? It's an important area. It's the most powerful of all media. A picture is worth 1,000 words, but a song can change a life. You might not even realize your life is being changed, but music has that impact. Once you make that effort to, by God's grace and through His guidance, purge those worldly music sources from your lives, incorporate that wholesome music, let what was once negative actually be positive in your life, that God could use it to impact you in a way that would please Him. I want to close by singing a hymn together. If you take your hymn books one more time, and it's number 212.